We continue our very interesting discussion about the Pac-12, the future of the Pac-12's media deal, primetime, all that and more. Who better to do that with than Sean Keeler from the Denver Post? Sean, my man, I hear you just got off vacation, and now it's all getting ready to start for you. So good luck, my friend.
Yeah, this week, Inside Baseball has had me in a bit of a triple suplex, and I'm still wrapped up to it today. So if I wander off more than usual, my brain and mouth have been disconnected. I mean, this month I bought a car, went on vacation, and now we're a week from Broncos camp, and so my brain's a little discombobulated. But happy to talk to you regardless.
Well, Sean, I was talking about this earlier. I was like, you know, from a fan, like a fan perspective, which I am, I'm really excited. I can't wait. Football season's almost here. It's going to be amazing. But us who works in the media, works in this industry, newspaper, radio, whatever, it's also like, oh, there's so many things that I have not done yet. I have so little time left. It's very depressing.
The short answer is the Nuggets and Abs are too good.
Yes.
The running joke is things you would normally see in your publications in May and June are taken up by the best teams in hockey and basketball. And then the realization that July comes around because we still get vacations like human beings, and they all got crowned. I think everyone at our place was gone within an 18-day period, and now we're all just kind of getting back bit by bit between now and the 23rd because our entire universe is centered around the Broncos, or in the case of this call, the Buffs and Deion Sanders.
So that was going to be – actually, that's a good question for you, Sean, because I was asked this morning on a show, on our morning show, what I thought the most interesting football storyline going into the season locally throughout the state of Colorado is it Sean Payton and Russell Wilson? I say 100%. It's primetime. Maybe I'm too much of a college guy, but I am – like, I think this is the story.
No, I think objectively it is because we've had a year of Russ. You know, we're kind of – that honeymoon came and went so fast.
Oh, it did.
Three weeks, not even a game
yeah.
In the regular season. Yeah, it was like 5 months and then games played and then it stopped. And the prime honeymoon is just, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs until, you know, they have to play a game. And yeah, that's a whole other topic that I'm sure we'll get to when we get closer to it. So I would agree with you. And I think all I have to say is if I was in another market, as I have been, and looking at this, to the outside world, prime is the most interesting thing in this market. I would say maybe even followed by the Nuggets in their attempt to defend their title. And the Broncos might be third. I mean, to outsiders. They own the town. We know that. They own the hearts and minds and the blood and spirit of this area. But, you know, yeah, they're going to have to turn it around relative to, like, what the outside world is going to look at. I think they're third, but they're still up there. And if they're, you know, 5-1, they'll be way up there.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Primetime not going to be at Pac-12 Media Days, which, again, was the biggest story for the Pac. Obviously, they got their TV deal, but they've already said, we're not going to announce it tomorrow. So the story was primetime. But obviously, dealing with the health side of things and what he's going through as far as getting a surgery. So, I mean, obviously, we're hoping the best for him in this case.
Yeah, and some people on Twitter, as they do, and some comments I've gotten in emails as well, I think took, as is often the case with some print stories, took my column in this morning's paper that sort of made a bit of a joke of the old line, I'd give an arm and a leg to do X. And I said, would you give your left foot to coach the Buffs? Because Coach Prime just might. That was not to make light as the text and the copy shows.
I don't think so.
At all. I think I get so venomous emails and texts about this. I just want to say, have you read it? Did you read it? At no point did I say this is funny. At no point did I say this is something to mock in any way. The headline does, but the copy of the text doesn't, which goes back to a whole other argument we won't get into about, you know, read the story, please, before you pass the question, because it is a serious thing. And I do genuinely, and this was the point of the column, we haven't even started, and I'll pose this question back to you since you posed one to me. Do you worry about burnout for a man doing this at this level who has led the celebrated life he has and is already running into this many health issues? Does it not worry you at least a little?
I would be absolutely. And in fact, Sean, the things I've talked about on this show, and maybe you and I have talked about it, I don't see primetime leaving ever for another school. I just see him being done, whether it's whether he wins a title, whether he doesn't, whether he's bad, whatever. I just see him maybe going back into the media world because I worry about burnout. I worry about the pain, all of that, what's going to happen after the surgery. Yes, absolutely, I would be concerned about that.
So that's the point the column makes, and Phil DeStefano says in that column, not an issue, don't see that as an issue. I'm going, great, great. I want to ask the question because, you know, a $5 million coach with two $1 million coordinators, I would want to ask that question, not so much for obviously my interest financially, but for his. Because the thing you have to keep in mind with this, and also what makes it fascinating, is Coach Prime doesn't have to do this. He wants to do this. And I understand if you're a big Buff booster, this is your savior. This is your moment. You know, there is a lot of just blind, you know, expletive you if you stand in front of this guy. And I get that. Totally do. You've suffered. Go get some. You know, this is, and I wrote, hey, guess what? If you read the column, you'll read that the fat guy at the Denver Post said this is the best thing to happen to CU football since the miracle at Michigan.
Sure, yeah.
Now, and you might not, and I don't think that's hyperbole. And we're going back to, what, 94 on that. But there's not a lot, sorry, Gary Barnett, I mean, with some Big 12 title games that didn't end well, not a lot in the middle there. So, at least at that level. So, again, before you call me the Barry NC-17 names you're calling me, read it, you know, before you decide for yourself. So I appreciate the chance to come on your program and explain that to folks who have currently beat me. I grabbed the stick out of my hand and beat me with it, and that's fine. I can take that too. But, yeah, I think I just am asking a legitimate question because not just, oh, he's missing media day. Well, the Denver Post, we're not going to media day either, so full disclosure, I can't complain about that, and he's going to do what he's going to do. But I do worry about the man's health, mental, as much as physical, and that was the point I was trying to make.
And again, that, I'll admit, the headline was gripping, but in a way where I viewed it as more of a guy's going to give his heart and soul for a team. That's how I really honestly viewed it. It's amazing to me how people can get a little carried away when it comes to their sports talk.
My fault. I made fun of his restaurant reviews in December. That got more hate mail than I've gotten for almost anything I've written about. I mean, we talked about it, I think,
yeah.
after I did it. I may have crossed the line there. I will apologize in hindsight. I was poking fun. I poked the bear, and I've lost a few limbs in the metaphorically in the process. That may not be a good analogy when I'm joking about that.
It might not be, but you know what? I'm not going to roast you for it.
It's all right. I deserve it. I have a chunk of Buff Nation that's gotten very defensive about this, and some of which I've had to address directly, and some of which I don't because it's just trolling, and I'm not going to troll fight you. That's, you know, because I could win, but that's not the point. I'm busy. We're all busy.
Sean Keeler of the Denver Post joining us. Sean, what is this? Any predictions for me on what this Pac-12 TV deal is going to, are they going to be like on Apple TV and that's it? Or are they going to get on, you know, TNT or TBS or something? Like what can we actually expect?
My prediction, you know, I think I would take your money with this and not mine, is what we just saw from the ACC won't be that dissimilar from what we're getting. I think if you want it, we're going to have a media deal eventually. I'm like making cross fingers, even in spite of what Phil DeStefano told me yesterday, that he's going to feel very 1986 and very 2026. And let me explain that, in that you're going to have some over the air. You're going to have some syndication. Remember Raycom? Remember those games? Jefferson Pilot, if you lived in the South. I think that CW network idea is real. I think the streaming is real. And I know this much, and this you know as well, the traditional outlets are pinched. And it was a game of musical chairs, and they lost. The Pac-12 did not jump on that as quickly as the Big 12 did, and they lost a seat. They may have lost it with ESPN entirely, which is not good. When you've got other leagues that are trying to get in that Pacific time zone, they're doing that ostensibly just to crowd, you know, taking away the one thing that you could claim as your own. You know, that, not whatever, after dark, that 9 o'clock kick. or 10 o'clock kick, depending on where you are, or 11 if you're in, you know, Indianapolis or New York. That's, none of those are good signs. I think the bottom line for me with CU with this, and I'm sure we're going to go down there too, is, and I'm glad I asked this, Pat Selfon back, is what's the number? Like, ultimately, this is a monetary decision as much as it is a cultural, academic, and fit, and athletic fit decision. I mean, to be blunt, I think Phil DeStefano likes being in the Pac-12. I think a lot of the faculty like, Pac-12. I think Deion Sanders wouldn't mind coaching in what's left of the Big 12 and get to go to Texas and Florida and go home and show those kids and their families what he's putting together. I don't know who wins that tug of war now because of so many alumni that are west of Denver. That is their base. And I it's kind of thing where it's like a crazy uncle who I don't agree with, but I get where they're coming from. That's kind of how I look at the Buffs and their decision to want to stay in the Pac-12. I think ultimately that is what drives them, and it's going to take a really bad number, like less than $35 million per team per season, like a big, big, big drop, for them to take another league's offer that isn't the Big Ten or SEC seriously. Because let's face it, it's the Big Ten, the SEC, and then everybody else.
Yeah, and it's, and that's why this season, more than any season, is just so interesting to see what's going to happen, what TV deal that's going to look like. And for CU, I mean, my producer and I have been talking about this a lot this week, Sean, that you got a one-win team from a year ago, but pretty much the future of college football feels like it hinges upon what happens for the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, it is. I got jabbed for this, too, in the piece that ran last Sunday that I wrote ages ago and forgotten that it was even running. Again, vacation kind of scrambles your brain a bit. Like, oh, I wrote, oh, yeah, oh, that ran. It is. You've got the realignment axle is kind of here, or Arizona to some degree, of those four corner schools. And you've got, you know, an all-time NFL legend coaching at this level for the first time and doing stuff that nobody's ever done, right or wrong, the roster changes, the spring game format, the hype videos, the access for his media circle, and that is his. It is not the university's. It is not ours, obviously. It's this kind of roving ecosystem that just kind of goes wherever he goes. All of this is unique, and we wrote about it last Sunday. We'll write about it some the next two Sundays, I think, in the Denver Post, because there hasn't been anything like it. And, yeah, I'm curious. And the whole world, I would be curious, back to the why this is the most interesting story, is I would be curious about this wherever I worked or lived and did. And I think Joe Fan is very curious to see how Deion Sanders gets along. That is, for now, until there are games as evidence, that is the most fascinating sports story in the greater Front Range, probably for the rest of this year, unless something crazier happens, or like I said, the Broncos are 11-6 or something, and or the Buffs are so bad again. And even that, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? You go 1-11 again? That won't happen. But let's say that's the worst case. It's still going to be rubbernecking. People are still going to be like, oh, my God, because how is he going to react with a live TV show that's being taped, Hard Knock style here, all the time, to that much drama? I mean, it's a win-win from a publicity standpoint. I think the only question is how many wins it actually brings on the football field.
I think you're 100% right. If it's a train wreck, it will be must-see TV. If it's a glorious achievement, it's going to be must-see TV as well. Sean, my man, I know you're pressed for deadlines and such as we get ready for Broncos camp and more coverage on the Pac-12 and the Buffs and everything. So we'll let you go, man. Appreciate you as always. And we'll try to catch up with you next week if we can.
Sounds good. Be good, man.
All right, you too, bud. All right, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. People got a little testy with him on that headline. I don't know if you saw the headline, but I viewed it as, you know, it's a guy that's giving his heart and soul to the team. He viewed it as, a lot of people viewed it as making fun of his situation. Sean Keeler can get a little edgy. He can. He can. He can get people really upset with him. I didn't think that was one, though.
I approach this as a journalist student, and if this was a headline I gave to a professor, I probably would have had to change it.
Mm.
But I also think the professor would have given me a high five because it's extremely clever.
It is clever.
It's clever. It's playing off of, you know, oh, I'd give my left foot to be doing something. And it's a play on that, and you can tie it to Deion. How much does he really want to do this?
And it is somewhat truthful, Angel, because this isn't good for his health. Do you think being a head college football coach is necessarily a good thing? I'm not going to say it's bad because some people handle it differently. Is it a good thing? We just saw two assistant coaches from UNC and CSU, one each, move on. Not because they got fired, at least from what I've heard. Corey Fehringer for UNC, Sam Jones for CSU, both just moved on. I know Sam really well. We had him sit in here, and he talked about the commitment and the time it takes to be a coach. So it's not necessarily good for your health. So he's already has health scares and concerns. So this isn't helping him.
No, and you talk about a guy that is so, you know, enamored with his own personality, and that is primetime is him, and he wants to show that off and be that type of character, and he wants to do it at this level while also sharing in this experience with his family, with his sons, you know, documenting all. We get annoyed about the videos, but that could be just stuff that he wants to watch when he's 80 years old and reminiscing. So, you know, you admire the passion and the dedication to it, and I'm sure he wanted to do it earlier, but he just had the blood clot thing a few weeks ago, and
yeah.
I'd imagine they couldn't do anything else until that got cleared, and it just falls on media days, and he wants to be in Boulder for fall camp, and you have to do this to get there.
And we forget sometimes, you know, if it's regular people like us, we get a sickness or something that could keep us in and out of work for a while. You just don't see it. We saw it with Mike Bobo with CSU. I mean, I can't remember the nerve damage or whatever it was in his feet where he couldn't walk. He was in so much pain. He had to start the season, you know, from the booth and do all that stuff and conduct practices from a hospital bed.
A doctor talking to Prime and saying, you might not be able to be on the sidelines. I'm sure that probably hurt him just as a football person. Being on the sidelines during a game is important. And he wants to go all into this with CU. You get that sense from him.
Oh, he does.
And his personality, and this is a part of it. And I don't mean that like joking. He has to give 100%, literally, but some of this you do have to give up. And sometimes it's a physical thing in his case, but a lot of times that we don't see it, it's the mental, it's the emotional part of these coaches. They're giving so much to do this stuff.
Gary Kubiak, when he was the head coach of the Houston Texans, you know, he had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just too much. So that's when he decided he was never going to go back to coaching. He went to Baltimore and was the offensive coordinator there. And it was John Elway and the Broncos that convinced him to take the head coaching. He even said, he's like, I was done coaching, but this is a game changer.
That only lasted. Did Fox have a heart attack too? I think it was after he was with the Broncos.
He did have something, yeah. And we hear that. We hear coaches have stuff going on a lot.
As stressed as you get as a fan, imagine how the coaches get stressed.
They're paid handsomely, but that does not mean you can just say, well, they should be tough and deal with it. No, they're dealing with
health. You're in charge of managing 50, 60-plus young men and adults.
And if you fail, you're moving your entire family. You got to uproot the school. If you have kids in school or your family, your wife has made great friends, you got to uproot all that stuff. That's just one aspect of it. And then you're made a joke nationally. I mean, Bill Belichick is the winningest coach as far as Super Bowls go. He's the greatest coach ever. How many people actually make fun of him all the time? No amount of success is going to make you bulletproof from the media, from the fan base, from the Twitter world. And that's just getting worse. And these guys, the stress that goes into it doesn't help with your health situation if you already have bad health going into it. So it's a crazy fascinating argument or study, I suppose. Prime time and everything going into it. You know the other story? The other big storyline? Russell Wilson. Has he transformed? Physically he looks good. Let's talk about that transformation coming up next and some of the top storylines surrounding the football teams that we care to talk about on the whole show. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It is Thursday, which means it's Smothered Burrito Day at Cable's Pub and Grill. It's their Fiesta Thursday. Smothered burritos for just $10.99 and house margaritas for $4. Try the Smothered Burrito. Angel said I was the burger guy from Cable's. No, I'm becoming the Smothered Burrito guy from Cable's Pub and Grill. You got to check it out. Tell them I sent you here from The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Russell Wilson. Every picture we see, everything we're starting to see now, is that he is shredded up. He's looking good. He's lost some weight. He's cut up a little bit. Tanner and Brian were talking to me this morning, and Tanner had said something like, doesn't that make you more mad knowing that he could have done that last year? That he, you know, he waited until he had a terrible season and his coach is gone, and now he's taking the time to get cut up. Well, Zach Stevens, he's our Broncos insider. Congratulations to him, by the way. He just got married. He's on his honeymoon, 2-week honeymoon, and they'll be back for Broncos camp. So good for Zach. Good dude. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl love that. He's off the market, though, girls. Sorry. But he is of the belief, for a lot of reasons, that Russell Wilson stayed a little bulkier because Hackett and Russ were looking at the 10-year plan, trying to make him a pocket passer, and saying, you're not going to be running around doing all the things that you used to do in Seattle. It's going to be more of stay in the pocket, only run when you absolutely have to, but you're going to bulk up so that it's harder for teams to hurt you, defenses to hurt you. Yeah, there's truth to that. But with Sean Payton, it's now, no, we want you back to when you were at your best. Doesn't mean you can't throw out of the pocket. Obviously, it's going to happen a lot. We want you to be able to use your legs and make plays, whether that's taking off 5 yards, 10 yards, are taken off just enough to give yourself some time so you can complete a pass downfield. That is the case. So I don't really look at it that way, that it was, oh, well, why didn't he do this last year? Players transform their bodies all the time. You know, LeBron James did. The older he got, his knees were starting to hurt, his ankles were starting to hurt, so he started cutting up and losing more weight rather than working on bulk and his lifts and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds simple enough as Russ and Hackett obviously had a plan for what they thought was going to be the future of their pairing, and you wanted to get ahead of that and work on that. If you could install the foundation of the offense as Russ is a pocket passer, maybe you can just translate that throughout the years. I don't look at it as that much as a bad thing. I think, you know, no guy is out of shape during the season or when the season starts.
Like, mm-hmm.
He was probably still in tip-top shape when he got to practice wearing his own jersey, whatever. But that doesn't mean that he can't take some of what he did that for and apply it to what he's doing now. That maybe he can still be a little bit of a pocket passer, but he's a little cutter. He's a little, you know, sleeker in terms of his moving ability. He can move around in the pocket a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think there's a way you can take what some of the plan was last year and put that towards something new with Sean Payton this year. It's just you couldn't have the whole thing. Like, let's transform Russell Wilson overnight. You know, and then another thought, you know, you just look at it and who was ultimately to blame for what happened here? And is Sean Payton's plan of don't get more lean, cut, all that stuff will get you back to where you were at Seattle? We're going to find out if that is really the true formula for Russell Wilson or and if Hackett just ruined him for a season or if this is just Russ now without Pete Carroll in Seattle.
Well, talking about if he's going through two different transformations in two different seasons, is there a concern that he gets just stuck in the middle and he doesn't really flip over to either way, not pocket
and that,
or scrambling?
There
and
is
that
a,
hurts him or does whatever.
There is definitely a concern of that. I have no real feel here. I want to get on here and be fanboy and go, Russ is going to turn it around. He is going to be back to – that's based on nothing. Yeah, we saw some good stuff under Jerry Rosberg last year, like the two games – but still, that was okay. It wasn't
that's
like
at the end of the season. You're not playing for anything.
No.
Other than pride.
No.
Now it's the expect. There's not as high expectations for Russell this year, but it's I expect you to not be nearly as bad as you were. And your opinion on him will change as the weeks go on and we get more actual footage of him playing. But just going into the season, the expectations are different.
I think we're going to know a lot after week one, because you're going to say, oh, that's the Russ I remember. Because, Angel, that Russ last year was an imposter. That was not the same guy. You could watch, put on his game film, watch any play he... He just didn't look the same as Russell Wilson. I watched a few Seattle games in my day. I loved watching Seattle. I loved watching Russell Wilson. That guy last year, that wasn't the same guy. And that was so evident even early in that first game of the season when they played Seattle. I mean, that was a tough game. He wasn't bad in that game, but it didn't feel like Russ, and then
but
it just
even
kept.
Then it was game one. Yeah. You weren't expecting it to look
no.
A certain way.
No.
You just thought it's Russ. He's going to throw the yards and run the ball.
The Christmas game, the Colts game, those two games are burned in my brain.
And I think even in throughout the season, there were very brief flashes of the old Russ. Like the play like where he ran around the pocket, like outside, and then he hit Jerry Jeudy like way downfield. That drive against Indianapolis, you could see it in. Some very small flashes of Russell.
He did, and he had a drive against, was it San Francisco last year?
Mm-hmm.
He had that one final drive. It was still early in the season, so we were still wondering what kind of Russ it was, but the Broncos won that game 11-10, and he was pretty bad, save for the final drive of the game to set up the win for the Broncos, and then you went, oh, that was actually not too bad. He had a good game against the Raiders, in which they lost. But
and
then
that was the fumbles.
Yeah, the fumble by Gordon. Yeah, and then you got into the Colts game, and then it was like people were pissed. I mean, people were leaving the stadium as overtime began. And it was, I mean, you saw KJ Hamler flipping out, throwing the fit in the end zone because Russ missed him wide open.
Counting down 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Why was Hackett calling a pass play there when it's all you needed was a field goal? And they're in regulation, even. I mean, and then the Colts drove down and they got the field goal to tie it to force it. That's the touchdown, anyway. It was just
it felt absolutely awful. It felt just like a snowball all season long.
Yeah.
And whether that's fair to Russ or not, he could only do so much with what he was given. When the snowball's rolling downhill, you can't stop it.
Well, and again, Hackett. His resume gives us no. If now hindsight here, we look back at his resume. He shouldn't have been hired for the head coach. Guys that get hired for head coach are mastermind offensive or defensive coordinators, not assistants. So why? This is a big one on George Payton. This will forever be there unless Sean Payton can overcome and they make good and it all works out and George is there. Then again, if Sean Payton is really really good. You might just say, hey, you're going to kind of be the GM, too. That I've talked about that a lot. But this Nathaniel Hackett hire, now that we look at it, was a bad hire. And it sucks because I rooted for Hackett in a different way. That was my first Broncos coach that I've interviewed. I've interviewed him 3 or 4 times, and he was all so freaking nice and so real. Like, that's the kind of guy he's going to give you some coach speak. They all do. But I was really rooting for him. But he just didn't have it. And he wasn't the guy in Green Bay. It was LeFleur who made all the decisions there.
I mean, how much of that was just getting paired up with a veteran quarterback and not really getting that leeway, not having that leash to go through those struggles?
So for George Payton and anybody in the Broncos insider world to tell me that the Nathaniel Hackett hire wasn't to lure Aaron Rodgers to Denver – and work that out. You're out of your mind, because why else did you hire him? Based on what?
It doesn't make sense when you look at it.
No, it makes zero sense, because he wasn't really coordinating the offense. He was an assistant to the regional manager in Green Bay. He wasn't the guy coming up with the schemes.
Like, the only thing that would have made it make sense is you got Hackett and you didn't trade for Russ. And you drafted a quarterback.
And that's again, George Payton made a lot of bad decisions that year. And that year is going to hurt him, plague him for a while, unless they can turn it around.
His second year as acting GM.
Yeah, his second year, and he hired Hackett, traded for Russell Wilson, and then suddenly you put the pressure all over this. I remember at the beginning of the season last year, it was like insider. There was an insider saying this is either going to be a change of, in history as far as how to coach and how to handle things, and Hackett's going to be great, or it's going to be a flat-out dumpster fire. And that's what it was a dumpster fire. So George Payton to hire him and then put Russell Wilson in his lap and say, make it work, it's Russell Wilson. It doesn't quite work like that, especially with a young coach. It can sometimes, sure. 40 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Lemons Heating and Cooling will help you cool off the rest of this summer. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com, or you can call them 970-567-0798. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day: if a sporting event is on a streaming outlet only, does that hurt the chances of you watching it? Case in point, Angel, the UFC. The UFC has potential to be never as popular as the Big Four, but maybe they could creep into NHL territory if you could get their biggest marquee fights on your regular ESPNs and Fox and all that stuff, but instead you have to pay $80 or $100 for a pay-per-view.
True. But it also creates this niche fan base with the UFC.
True, but it does. It creates this die-hard.
Like, if you are into UFC, you're into it because you're watching every fight, you're watching the training camps, all of that.
Could it be more of a casual viewing for some?
Maybe. I think the sport itself doesn't really lean itself to casual people because it's very violent and
it's
very uncensored.
Boxing,
a lot of broadcast.
Boxing, to me, is violent, of course. I'm not a big boxing fan, but I've ordered fights before. And if the hype is built up, and I know Conor McGregor with UFC, like if I hear his name and it's on ESPN on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock, I might watch that. But there ain't no way in hell I'm ever paying for it, and I'm probably not going to get in my car and go to somebody's house who bought it either. It's convenience again.
I think another thing, particularly with the UFC, is a little political in that.
Oh, yeah.
The fan base of the UFC is. You can tell what they are. And I don't know if the broadcasting rights of the UFC coincides with Disney or ESPN or any of them.
Very true. That's a very good point. But it is another example of a sporting event being on whatever you want to call it, streaming service or something extra on top of what you're already doing. Mm-hmm. It's just convenience. Dixon texted that earlier. Convenience continues to be king. When it comes to how people can access your stuff, it has to be easy for me to figure it out or I will move on. You know, altitude. How many people didn't get to watch the Nuggets and Avs and simply just mentally checked out of it and said, you know what, I'm just not going to do it, I guess. I'm going to stick with Comcast. I'm going to stick with Dish Network. I'm not going to make the switch because it's too much of a hassle. I don't want to do it. And I just will have to illegally stream or figure something else out. That is the problem that you face going forward in the future with the Pac-12. Hopefully we find out soon what's going to happen here, but
when do you predict they'll make an announcement?
So they're not going to do it tomorrow. So
would they wait until all media days are finished?
Do they want to wait so they don't have to field questions about their crappy deal?
Yeah.
They already know. You got Phil DeStefano. There we go. DeStefano. You got him saying, no, we want to be in the Pac-12. And Sean Keeler tells us, yeah, he actually does want to be in the Pac-12, but does everybody else?
I mean, it's easy to say that right now.
I do think that maybe he, in his core, because he's an older guy. He was there when they joined and all that stuff.
Well, if you can put yourself as CU as the face of the Pac-12 in the future, you'd want to take that chance.
If the Pac-12 had a reasonable TV deal where they made money off of it and they were in front of a lot of eyes, then the Pac-12 would be no reason for it not to be right there. The basketball side of things, I mean, it's pretty decent.
I'd say historically very solid.
Yeah. It's all these things mixed together. Success, money for your conference, because money for your conference leads you to do a bunch of other things and add to your stadiums and all that. And then availability. Can we watch you? Accessibility. Can we watch your stuff 48 minutes after the hour? What did we learn today on the 20th day of July? Coming up next on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
Well, I learned from our very own Kevin Lytle in the Colorado, and now everybody knows it, but CSU is picked to finish seventh in the Mountain West. Keep in mind, it's no longer divisions of the Mountain West. It is an overall conference. How are we feeling about that? I might put that out as a poll question tomorrow to see, you know, if we're vibing off of seventh, kind of middle of the pack, not Pac-12, the Mountain West. And that's what I learned. Angel, what'd you learn on this 20th day of July?
I learned that this is the first show in a long time where we haven't talked about basketball.
Zero basketball today.
Very, very minimal.
Not one nugget story, nothing.
That just means we must be getting close to something.
It's so a week from tomorrow, the Broncos will be in training camp.
Training camp, going around for next week's teams, 2 weeks, how the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and the game, if you want to call it that. And we got preseason, high school training camp, college training camps.
Russ going to play in the preseason?
He better.
He better. Wouldn't that be something if Sean Payton comes out and he's like, yeah, I don't want to risk it. How short of a leash do you think Russell Wilson is on?
In terms of?
Like if he throws an interception and has a rough game week one. Yeah.
Oh, I think you're far from that.
Really?
Who's the backup, Rippon?
No, it's Stidham.
Stidham is pretty solid.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if... I could see that for a game if Russell is just struggling in the first half and you know he's just mentally not there. I could see that. But no, Russell will be the starter from the season on.
Well, we'll see. That one's going to be an interesting storyline too, because the idea of sitting him even as bad as it got last year, I don't think entered a lot of people's minds about it. So, and I'm not there either. I think he's obviously going to have some really, really bad stuff happen. He's going to have a better offensive line. He's going to have an even better defense that's going to try to keep them in games, and hopefully better weapons. Tim Patrick's coming back. I don't think it's a short leash, but Angel, it's a leash. There's something there.
I think the question is, do the fans have a leash for Russell, or is it just I have you by the scruff of your neck, and if you're good or not, we're going to find out.
I don't know. I wonder how fans view him, because I know how the media views him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to know, like, what? How do you phrase that question? Are you still a Russell Wilson fan, or are you annoyed? I don't know. We'll figure that out. That'd be a good one, because I would be curious to know what the hooligans think on that side of things. Okay, we'll be back at it on a Friday. Looking forward to it. We will get Brian Howell from Buff Zone on. He'll give us his thoughts live from Pac-12 Media Days. So more on this story continues to evolve on the media rights and primetime and everything. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.